This is a CBC podcast. With Concerts On Demand, you can enjoy performances from acts like Tegan and Sarah, the Toronto Symphony Orchestra, and the Peggy Lee Band whenever you want. Find your favorites at cbc.ca/radio2/COD.
Welcome to the best of All in a Day. 5 days a week, we pick our favorite story from All in a Day on CBC Radio in Ottawa. Here's today's feature.
Well, let's say just for a moment that time travel is possible, and I'm going to ask you to flash back with me for a moment to September 2009, when I was chatting with Ottawa-born science fiction writer Robert J. Sawyer, creator of the book Flash Forward, just before it was converted into a television show on ABC, and I asked him what that development had meant to him financially.
This is certainly a big boost this year. My bank manager called me a couple of weeks ago and said, "Do you have any idea how much money is just sitting in your account?" And I said, "Yeah, I actually kind of do know." He says, "Yeah, so maybe you should do something with it." If the show runs for 5 years, like we're hoping it will, my retirement is secure and I'll never have to work again if I don't want to, which is a very nice place for a writer to be at.
A nice place to be at, indeed. Well, the program Flash Forward has continued with critical acclaim, a lot of people watching. But Robert J. Sawyer is still working, ladies and gentlemen. His latest science fiction novel, Watch, has just been released. It continues Sawyer's story of Caitlin, a teenage girl who has an unusual relationship with a presence on the internet known as Webmind, with a presence that's becoming sentient as it watches everything that humanity does online. Both Caitlin and the presence try to determine what to do with that information. Robert J. Sawyer is with me in the studio. Hello there.
Hi, nice to be here again.
Well, before we talk about Watch, I just wondered how the success of Flash Forward has changed the life of Robert J. Sawyer, even in those months since September.
You know, it's been wonderful. Flash Forward came on in September. Now we're talking in May, so we've had a good television year of it. I hit the major mainstream bestsellers lists in the UK for the first time, United Kingdom, on the heels of the show premiering in the United Kingdom. There are new editions of the Flash Forward novel all over the world, and that would be great, but what's really great is all of my books. I've just finished my 20th novel. All of them are selling better now than they were selling a year ago this time. The whole RJS brand has gone up in the last 8 months, and it's been an absolutely amazing experience. And, you know, I got a little bit of that Hollywood fever. I can see why people like being down in L.A. I've spent a lot of time there this last year, and it's a very cool town.
Mostly because also your name keeps being tied to episodes. Every week I'm tuning in and seeing written by Robert J. Sawyer.
Well,
written by Robert
I only J. actually wrote one episode, but I consult on them all, and they're all based on my novel, so I get credit on every episode. And it's been amazing for, you know, upticking the brand. There, obviously, I had lots of readers beforehand, but lots of people have discovered that Robert J. Sawyer exists through watching Flash Forward. And given that, you know, I wrote Flash Forward over a decade ago, it's nice to have something that helps leverage the projects I'm working on now, such as Watch, my new novel.
I tweeted a while back that there's a chance that maybe Janice Hawke is the most intriguing character on television. I just wondered what it's been like watching the universe developed so far beyond the characters that you... She wasn't even in the original
Absolutely.
Book,
so. Janice is terrific. Christine Woods, who plays Janice Hawke, starts off as kind of almost sort of this mousy data analyst. And then it turns out that she's a mousy, gorgeous, pregnant data analyst lesbian who used to be a lawyer and might actually have a secret double life. I mean, it's been an incredible ride for her. And our star is Joseph Fiennes, who plays Mark Benford. But in the testing we do, the number one most popular character is the one John Cho plays, Dimitri Ngo. Number two is Janice, who is only supposed to be a supporting character. She is the de facto female lead of the series in terms of audience fondness for our female characters. And that's wonderful for her. She's great. She's absolutely great.
I noticed that even in the book Watch, on page 251, one of the characters is watching Flash Forward on television. And they say last night's episode of Flash Forward had been so slashy, parts of it just cried out to be set to music.
Yes, that's right.
Was this inspired by any event in particular?
You know, there are times when Dominic, which is the John No the John Cho character, plays not Dominic, Dimitri, and the Joseph Fiennes character really get that I've got your back, brother thing pretty subtextually as right. those who believe that there's a subtext to everything. And of course, slash, for those who don't know, is a term that came out of it's when fan fiction is written that puts characters who you would not think of as a romantic pairing. It comes from the Kirk slash Spock fan fiction from the 1960s.
So now I wonder, the book Watch is set very much in the present, as I suppose Flash Forward is as well, present and future,
that's
suppose
right,
you could say.
That's right.
But with characters dealing with technology that's only slightly set apart from our own, I would say, I wondered, because the characters in Watch are making reference not only to things like Flash Forward currently on television, but they look back at things like War Games and old Star Trek episodes as well. I wondered, are you worried? And they see those old references as dated.
Right.
I wondered, do you worry about your own book being dated?
You know, I don't at all. But my previous editor, when I did 10 years of books for Tor Books, and my editor there used to say, don't put contemporary references in a science fiction novel. They'll have, you know, the future as a way of catching up with you. They'll date the book. Now, he has a PhD in comparative medieval literature, so I guess he knows about such things.
Right.
You look back at H.G. Wells. Does anybody say, you know, the Victorian setting of War of the Worlds kind of makes it dated and the references to politicians of the day? You look back at Sherlock Holmes. These things endure. I think a good story endures. And the reality is, pop culture is so pervasively part of our lives. This fake world that most fiction takes place in which people drink cola, not Coke or Pepsi,
right.
and watch some made-up TV show, not Two and a Half Men, is a kind of failure of the artistic sensibility. My job is to accurately reflect reality, even in science fiction. In fact, especially in science fiction, to imbue my work with realism. And I think the pop culture touchstones really do that. I would say amongst my readers, 4 out of 5 love the pop culture references and the other 1/5 don't like them. Well, you know, with that response rate, I'm going to keep putting them in. A lot of Planet of the Apes in Watch, too.
Absolutely, which actually brings up Virgil. Who, strangely enough, it's strange that I was interviewing both you and Yann Martell on the same show today, because his recent book, Beatrice and Virgil, features a talking monkey named Virgil.
Right, absolutely.
Very different in this
absolutely.
Case.
Absolutely, and I have an orangutan named Virgil. Mine is named, I don't know where Yann got his name from, but there was the most brilliant orangutan in the 5-movie Planet of the Apes series, right. name was Virgil. And so I name an orangutan in my series after that.
He took his from Dante, if that's it. So there are links all over the place.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
From different eras of literature as well. Not only do you get into the mind of the apes in the book, it's fascinating to see how you write from the perspective of the computer being, from
yes.
Webmont's
yes.
actual opinion. Because you're talking about a character who is a computer being,
mm-hmm.
struggling to learn about humanity, also kind of has the perspective of a god watching
yes.
over the humans. It's not your standard writer's point of view.
Yeah, and this is what made it interesting to do. I mean, I just finished the final book in that trilogy. Watch, the one that's out now, is the middle volume. And I just turned in Wonder to my publisher, Penguin. That's my 20th book. What makes it interesting for me to keep doing this is to find new ways to challenge myself. If it wasn't a real struggle to write the character, it's not worth writing that character. I could spend my whole life writing bespectacled, balding, bearded, middle-aged geeks, and that would be completely boring to me. In this, I wrote the Webmind character, which is this disembodied superintelligence, and also a blind 15-year-old girl, which is, you know, quite foreign to me as well, and a math genius to boot, which my accountant will assure you that I am not. And that's what made it fun to do. To give a little parallel back to Flash Forward, how did we get Joseph Fiennes to star in Flash Forward? Big movie star, Shakespeare in love, big theatrical stage theater star in England. The answer is we offered him a part he'd never been offered to play before. Tough guy, American cop. Yeah, I'm up for that, sure,
right.
because it's a challenge. Same thing for a writer. You want to write the characters that are the most of a stretch for you to write, not the ones that are easy to write.
So how do you get into that character then? Because, I mean, at the same time, not only are you conveying what it's like to be Webmind, but as you mentioned, you have Caitlin, who was blind up until recently, and she can actually see inside the web.
Yes.
I'm paraphrasing this, but you know, the colored lines, the circles, the portals. How did you decide how you were going to visually express?
You know, that was the hardest part. This trilogy of books took longer to write than any project I've ever worked on. And I actually, I tell you, I spent the summer 3 years ago at Burton House, Pierre Burton's family homestead up in Dawson City. They have a writer's retreat up there. You apply for it. If you're lucky, you get it. I got it for 3 months. And I spent that whole 3 months was trying to work out the Webmind point of view. I wrote very little. Even though it was a writing retreat, but I was just noodling about to try and get my head to, you know, the hardest thing to write is a character who's brighter than you. It's easy to write somebody who's not as bright as you. But I have great sympathy for Arthur Conan Doyle writing Sherlock Holmes. Conan Doyle, bright man, medical doctor. But he was writing an absolute genius. And I'm trying to write something that, you know, IQ is off the scale. And to visualize what its perspective would be like and what a blind girl's first vision would be like was enormously artistically satisfying to try and do. And the beauty of it is that, of course, the reviewers seem to think that I pulled it off, which is the icing on the cake.
On top of all these things that we will probably never see or points of view that we will never understand, you do incorporate real people in the book as well. You mentioned Stephen Hawking.
Yes, the Hawk.
He's coming by. Bob McDonald from Quirks and Quarks.
My buddy. Bob and I have been buddies for years. So he's got a cameo. Mike Lazaridis, who is, I guess, in the first book, Wake, of course, founded Research in Motion. Yeah.
But there's an Ottawa location that I wanted to ask you about. You at one point mentioned the mistress of a CSIS agent.
Yes.
Who lives at 1433 Bank Street in Ottawa. Veronica Stiles, who goes by the codename Pussy Willow, according to this.
So yes.
I looked up 1433 Bank Street online.
Uh-huh.
It says it belongs to Peters Studio Canada, an independent studio where they work on rail simulator add-ons and virtual world creations. Were you aware of this?
You know, I'm going to say no and hope that that they have a good sense of humor.
So you just made up 1433 Bank Street?
It had a nice ring to it, yes. I made sure it wasn't a residential address because you don't want to be saying that, you know.
Yes, the mistress.
The mistress, you know, you don't want to actually point a finger at that sort of thing. Yes, yes.
All right.
But
so,
the Ottawa reference, I mean, my CSIS agents actually, you don't often see CSIS agents in fiction, period. But they aren't the nicest guys in this particular novel.
No, and certainly we don't want to give away what ends up happening to Webmind, what the final fate is. But it's a fascinating, I guess in a way, flash. It can't be a flash forward, a flash sideways into something that could be happening right
That's
now.
Right.
Robert J. Sawyer, thank you so much
for my
coming
pleasure.
In. Robert J. Sawyer is the author of Watch, as well as Flash Forward, the book that inspired the TV show.
That was a highlight from All in a Day. We upload a fresh story 5 days a week, so check back often for new features. You can listen to the whole show on 91.5 FM in Ottawa. All in a Day is heard every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.